my best and wasn't home here when I left.
Welcome back to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM CFRO. This is Monday Brown Bagger. Again, my name is Reginald Angus Argue. I'll be archiving this on my website of www.reginaldangusargue.com. That song that you just heard is so touching because of the fact is, to me, I believe that we have to protect the people, protect the children, and as a veteran, I always protect my brothers and sisters who served in other militaries because they're part of the military family. And when I hear that song, and our guest that's going to come up in a couple of minutes, you know, it really touches me, brings a tear to my eye. And before I introduce our next guest, I just wanted to quickly read a quote from an article called Stop the Deportation of Immigrant Military Veterans. Immigrant veterans are being deported from the adopted country that they love, discarded after answering the call of duty in defense of liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. We asked them to join our military and stand for our principles. They did so with great pride. They deserve the highest respect awarded, period. With that said, our guest was a volunteer. He served in the U.S. military from 1995 through November 2001, where he received two honorable discharges, just highlighting a few of the awards and medals he received when he served in U.S. military. He had two AAMs, Army Achievement Medal, Good Conduct Medal, Army Service Medal, and a Humanitarian Medal, and he served in the 82nd Airborne. With that said, I'd like to introduce Hector. Hector, I'm probably not going to get the enunciation of your last name properly, so I'll just ask you to quickly remind me again so I'm able to remember it.
Okay, my name is Hector Bajas. Good afternoon, everybody.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Hector. And you know, what I really wanted to get to people, hopefully through you, is that, you know, how important this issue is. I mean, you, yourself, so many other veterans, and even Vietnam veterans, Iraq veterans that went over to Iraq War, that went over to the Gulf War, are now being deported and sent back to the countries where they originally came from, yet they served in the American military. They protected the people. And when the people are... when they're there, when these veterans come back and they need the protection of the people that they offered themselves, you know, the people aren't there to protect them. And it's so horrendous that you could even think of doing this to any veteran because the veteran, again, protects the people. And with that said, how many veterans at this time are sitting in the detention centers waiting to get deported from the United States of America?
Well, there's over 300 detention centers, from my understanding, in the United States, and you know, just in one in detention center in El Centro, we had up to 5 to 7 veterans. And again, nobody's really checking to see how many. It's just word of, you know, by word of mouth that you know, the guys get together and then they somehow reach out to us. So there's, I mean, even if you say one veteran in each, you know, center, you're looking at 350 veterans, but there's more than that. I mean, there's up to sometimes 10 veterans. It depends how many they're picking up or, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, the number varies.
And there was actually two Vietnam veterans. I was reading an article and that you, I think you sent it to me. And what happened was, is that one veteran was a Marine, other veteran was the 82nd Airborne. I think the 82nd Airborne veteran, he won a Bronze Star medal over in Vietnam, and they were facing deportation. They were in the United States since the 50s, and they were facing deportation. And as you, could you give us a little, I know you gave me a little update, but could you share with the listening audience an update on that story?
Yes, I tried to actually get a hold of the attorney that was working with them, and I believe he was a criminal attorney. It turns out that they had been in trouble with the law, but it was some misdemeanors and stuff like that. And after they came out on the news, or I don't know exactly what happened, the U.S. government terminated proceedings and actually started their paperwork to become U.S. citizens, but they were trying to deport them, you know. And, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, why would you even consider putting a United States veteran in proceedings to try to deport them? That to me is wrong in itself.
Well, all of this, I was looking through YouTube on your website there, and what happened was it talked about the 1996 law. Could you talk a little bit about that, what that law is and how important that law was to events that are now happening?
Well, 1996, Bill Clinton, I believe they made an amendment to the Immigration Act, saying that anybody who commits a felony or over 365 days in jail can be deported. That is not a U.S. citizen. Just, you know, somebody with a green card or a visa or that gets in trouble with the law. And before that, the judges would have discretion as far as, okay, well, this guy's a United States veteran. We're not, you know, we're going to terminate proceedings. We're not even going to pursue this. And after that, they got rid of that, and they are no longer able to make any, calls as far as who they're going to deport or not. So now they're ever since, because you would never hear of any veterans getting deported before that, and now they're actually, since 1996, everything just started, they started deporting veterans.
Well, actually, I was watching a YouTube again. There was another YouTube that was on your website you have there. And just in a couple minutes, I'll have you give the address to your website so that way people can go in there and see the YouTube for themselves. And there was a lawyer on there by the name of Craig Shagan. And what happened was he was actually talking about that 1996 law. I think he's an immigration lawyer. And what he was saying was it was a draconian law, and they actually are penalizing people who are poor. Poverty is a crime to them. So, a veteran that gets out of the military, and a lot of veterans that get out of the military are going to suffer some form of, a PTSD, or, it's going to take them a little time to adjust to society, because it's different from the military to society living. It's totally different. And yet you're going to penalize someone because they don't have any money. I guess what happened was they forgot about the poem that sits on the Statue of Liberty. And I wanted to quickly remind people the poem that sits on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And I say to people, that poem says it all. How dare you basically go after the veterans in any way. These people served your nation. They protected you. And now what happens is it is time for you to protect the veterans.
Yeah, and a lot of, you get people that say, oh, well, these guys just, came in for the benefits. Who doesn't join the military for some kind of benefit, besides your GI Bill, or, the economy is really bad. You're going to get a steady paycheck, or some people to do it for college, or a lot of people do it just because they want to join the military and serve the country. But there's nothing wrong with serving the military to get certain benefits and stuff like that. Because you have people say, "Oh, well, you guys are just joining the military to get your benefits and to get your U.S. citizenship." And the recruiters, that's the U.S. government knows that. That's what they use. We'll give you citizenship. Join the ranks.
Well, and you yourself, what happens is you're deported, you're down in Mexico right now. Could you give us quickly a brief summary of what you've been through and how you're not even able to return to the United States?
Yeah, myself, I've been deported for life, so I can never return to the United States. And the only way I can return, and actually, because I'm a United States veteran, I still have benefits with the, so I actually, I'm entitled to a military plot and a headstone if I were ever to die, and that's the only way I can return, and they're going to have no problem with me going back dead. If it was just myself, I would, it'd be easier to deal with, because to reintegrate back into a society you've never been with, of course, but I mean, we're in the military, they teach you to overcome and adapt, and I know I could adapt to wherever, environment I'm put in, but it's not the same. You don't have your friends, your family. My daughter, I have a 4-year-old daughter. I'm not able to raise her. So it's, there's still a lot more, it's hard. I will say it is hard, but we'll take what we can get, and we'll work towards getting some results and changing the laws or trying to get back as an individual. But I don't believe in leaving any guy behind if I were to ever go back. There's no way I would do that.
And, quickly, what is your website? So that way people listening right now, if you have a computer next to you, you're able to type it in and then quickly go look as we're talking.
They can go to banishedveterans.info, and that's veterans with an S, .info. or they can also, they can, if they want to email you, since most of your listeners, they probably have your, you know, they have your email and stuff like that, and they can also get your the information from yourself as well. We're also on Facebook. They can look for Banished Veterans also group, or also add me as a friend through you, or just punch me up, Hector Brajas.
And also, when I was watching, there was this one YouTube that I was watching that really touched my heart. And there was a gentleman by the name of Orlando, and here is a Iraq veteran, combat veteran, and he was. Could you give us a little bit, you know, what happened to him? How he has a young wife, young daughters that are American.
Yeah, he has his wife is an American. He has kids that are American. He ended up getting deported, and from my understanding, not, you know, don't quote me on this, but he got deported due to some technicality with his green card or his paperwork. So he did not even commit a crime. It was any mistake. Was his something happened with his paperwork? It did, you know, and I don't know exactly what happened, but that's how come he got deported. Unless I misinterpreted him when I talked to him on the phone, but he's really, you know, he's. Well, I've been emailing him for a couple of months, and he really hasn't responded to me. But now I don't know if he's gonna come around or not. But he's pissed off. He's hurt, you know, and you can't blame him, you know, because he put his life on the line out there, and you know, his kids would have never had a dad if he would have died in combat. And then for an ungrateful nation to deport him is just I wouldn't even say nation, but the politicians and they know that it's happening right now. Some of them do, and they could do something about it and raise a fuss about it, but they're not doing it.
Well, we can't blame the American people because, you know, the American people that, you know, they're a lot of them aren't educated on it. And what I'm hoping is that people will listen to this show on the internet when I archive it on my website, and it'll open up so many American people's eyes because, you know, when my wife and I were living down in the United States for almost 5 years, they were so proud about their military, and to hear that veterans are being deported from their country. You know, far as I'm concerned, when someone's a veteran, you're part of the brotherhood, you're part of the sisterhood, and it's up to all of us to defend the brotherhood and defend the sisterhood. And like you're saying, I believe the 100%, just like you believe, never leave anyone behind because we have to protect each other in life. And, you know, what I want you to do is, if you could quickly talk about, there's another gentleman who's facing deportation over to Jamaica. Could you share a little bit about that one?
Yes, his name is Rohan Coombs, and I've actually met his fiance. We used to actually go to try to meet with people to try to, you know, advise them or to let them know what's going on with our veterans. And he's also a Persian Gulf War veteran. He's diagnosed with post-traumatic syndrome. He ended up picking up some drug charges, I believe. And you know, we're not saying if you do something and you commit a crime, of course you should do the time. You know, and certain things do need to be looked at. You know, whether this guy's got a brain injury or something, or you know, that might affect his thinking or whatever. But you know, if the veteran doesn't have any issues, or maybe he does have PTSD, of course, you know, give him some time and rehabilitation, but don't deport the guy after, you know, he served in your military. And before the military, this guy had never been in trouble. He got an honorable discharge, and after the military, you know, he ended up, you know, using drugs or doing different things. So,
well, his wife died 4 days.
Oh. And his wife died 4 days before Christmas, or on Christmas, I'm not sure. Yeah,
and also, could you talk a little bit, there's one gentleman that's, I think he's in charge of the banished veterans. He's sent over in England. He served for a little while over in the American military, and then he was deported back to Germany, and he eventually headed over to England, where he has two nonprofit organizations.
Okay, his name is Rudy Richardson. He's, I've talked with him a little bit. He's also getting involved now. His father was actually a GI back in the days during World War II. His father was actually one of the GIs that was in that area, and I guess he got his mom pregnant, and she was I forget exactly what background she was, but this was in Germany, and they ended up putting him up for adoption or something like that, and then he never found out who his father was, I believe. And then somebody from the that was stationed in Frankfurt or in Germany, a military family, an American family, adopted him. They took him to the States. He grew up there. He lived over there for over 45 years. He joined the military, was also an 82nd Airborne Paratrooper. And then after, you know, getting in trouble with the law, you know, he also got deported. But he's also a United States veteran, honorably discharged. And I got to look into his case because from my understanding, they cannot deport you if your parents are U.S. citizens before the age of 18. So that's something I got to look into as well because a lot of people don't know that. And that's something that might be able to help them out.
Well, you also have Canadians that went down to United States, went into the military down there, and after they're done their service, even the Canadians are getting deported back to Canada.
Yeah, everybody, the only two countries that do not, well, I mean, there's depending on if you're, you know, you could also seek political asylum, if there's something going on with your family, but there's two countries that I do know for a fact that will not take you back, and that's Cuba and that's North Korea. So, what's that?
Vietnam.
And Vietnam. So there's a couple of countries that will not take you back. Other than that, I mean, you will be deported. There's people that served in the military from the Brit to the, you know, the British, you know, British people that come over here and immigrated to the United States, and then they get deported. Russians, people from Africa, South America, and what's really wonderful about Rudy's story, what I did want to mention about Rudy's story is that, you know, he got deported to Germany and after, you know, close to his 50s, and he, you know, after 3 years of being deported to Germany, had never been there, since he was a little kid, he from there he went over to Britain, and then he, you know, he started a nonprofit organization, and that's a wonderful story of how somebody can reintegrate themselves back into society even after breaking the law, because a lot of veterans that are citizens break the law and they go back and into society and deal with their issues and become productive citizens. And a lot of us can do that, but they're not giving us the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of what I've noticed even when I got honorably discharged from the Canadian military is it was kind of hard to adjust to society because it's a different atmosphere from going from the military over to society. It's not as it's more structured in the military. And then when you come out to society, it's so free and everything. That it takes a little time to get used to it. What I wanted also, you live with a deported Marine too at the same time.
Yeah, actually, he's the one that mentioned just to me about also Vietnam. He's also deported. He was in the military for like almost 2 years. He was a Marine, and he was in detention for almost 2 years fighting this case. And he was in there with Mr. Coombs as well. And a couple other veterans. So there's, you know, you got Marines. I haven't heard about too many Air Force guys. Actually, any Air Force, but Navy, Marines, Army. That's the main service that I've seen that has been getting deported. And the majority of the people that are getting deported are of course to Mexico, because that's the country next to the United States. But you know, you got people from all over the place: Jamaica, Liberia, Ghana, Africa. You know. European countries, and I mean, you just name it, and they're getting deported to those countries.
And also, you were telling me before that you were talking about how important that the immigrant veterans have been throughout history in the United States. We're talking all the way back to the Revolutionary War. You know, could you share a little bit about that, what you were sharing with me at an earlier date?
Yeah, and well, basically, you know, you've had people serve in the U.S. military. Since, I mean, if you go back to the Civil War, you had, you know, people that were not U.S. citizens but fought alongside the United States, from even when Texas, I believe, they decided to leave to become with the United States, to become a part of the, you know, and they annexed themselves or something like that. Or even back to the, you know, Revolutionary War, where none of those people were U.S. citizens. They just, you know, had an ideal. And they wanted to separate themselves from England, and they wanted self-government and all that. So you had Indians also who were not U.S. citizens, you know. So, I mean, you can look throughout the history, and U.S. nationals, which is somebody that according to the immigration, INA, is somebody that holds allegiance to the United States, have served in the U.S. military throughout history, you know, throughout the United States history.
Oh, and also my wife's pointing out to me, my operator, that we have a clip to play off of your website. We're going to quickly play this clip, and then we'll have you comment on it there, Hector.
turned 18, a buddy of mine got me to talk, you know, he talked to me about the Marine Corps, and I was a bit intrigued, and I decided to join. I served 4 years of active duty, and I followed 4 more years in the reservist. I still don't have my citizenship. I keep getting stuck in loops. My files were often sent to the wrong state. I've gone through the interview process. I followed all the steps that I'm required to do. I'm still trying to get it. I'm at the last step. All I need is the oath ceremony. The reason I joined the military is because I love the country, what it has done for me, and I want to participate. I want to vote, but I can't. It's like I got out and I was forgotten. They just, he's not in the Marine Corps anymore. He's gone. It's just another number. They teach you honor, courage, commitment. That's what you're taught when you're in the Marine Corps, and you do what you can to serve best. How can I go with my head up and say, yes, I'm a Marine, I serve the country, and people just being treated less than human? I just don't think it's fair. Before you believe what you hear, do your own research. Get to know what you're against, because it may turn out that what you're against is your own hatred, yourself. Immigrants are people.
I wanted you to quickly comment on that there, Hector.
Well, you know, what he says is right. You know, when you're in the U.S. military, you know, every time they make a speech or you go doing, you know, we used to have division review, or we'd have, you know, Secretary of the Army or President, whoever. You were not, or even when the bullets are flying, nobody says, hey, you know, Mexican, or hey, you know, this, or are you a U.S. citizen? No, you know, everybody is an American, you know. So after you get out, then they start, you know, well, you're not a citizen, or you know, there's not really, you know, you had that back in, you know, I mean, the blacks experienced it, you know, from the Tuskegee men and all that. So they've experienced something similar, but, you know, really, when you're in combat, a lot of that is really forgotten, you know. And once you get out, you know, all that stuff starts coming back, that racism or that, you know, that separation of, you know, who you are and what you are and where you came from. And that really shouldn't be like that, you know, because we are one brotherhood, you know.
Yeah, I believe that 100% there, Hector, because, you know, immigrants are people too. I mean, that's the last line that the gentleman was saying. It's so true. And what happens is we have to realize that if we don't work together to solve problems and we allow a few people to divide all of us, all that's going to happen is divided, we're going to fall. United, we stand together as one. And I think that's the most important. That's what I get from it. You know, but I wanted to, we only have a couple minutes left there, Hector. So could you quickly share what your thoughts are and what is the most important thing that you want to get out through this interview right now to the people listening, not only in Vancouver area, but also on the internet?
Well, our main focus is getting to the mainstream media and to raising public awareness, because most of the American people don't know that we are getting deported. As we keep growing numbers and support, and the emails find themselves to somebody that does want to be involved and does want to help us out, and you know, it's you know, it's going to be a stronger movement. You know, we're just in the starting stages, so that's my main thing, is, you know, to get the word out. If you have friends that served in the military, that, you know, forward them their our website, or if you, even if you're from another country, if you want to get involved, and you, like, you know, like yourself, you said, you know, you're from Canada, but you want to help out your, you know, your brothers, you know, that served in the military, your veterans, you know, if there's any way you can help out, that's great also, you know, whether it be donations or just say, you know, hey, I want to be involved somehow to help you guys out from this, you know, from this end over here. Because, you know, they just, anything really, it would be great, you know. So that's about,
well, I'll definitely be hooking you guys up with some people that I know, because it's so important. And what happens is my operator wanted to ask you a question. Go ahead.
Hi. The question I have to ask is that, well, I was raised in the military family. My cousin served the military. He lied about his age. I think he was about 14 or 15. I think he was about 15. In a way, he had problems himself. He went on drugs and alcohol. And my dad served in the military before I was born. He was on his way to Germany on the plane, and he was lucky the war ended. But being around it, the question I have to ask is, I think there's something going on behind doors. It doesn't make sense to me why they're sending the veterans out. I'm just wondering, do you think the President of the United States is up to no good, or there's something going on behind doors?
I don't know if I'm pretty sure he knows, because Janet Napolitano and him, I've seen them in various functions together, even last time when they swore in 24 soldiers into the military, into being U.S. citizens. So they know what's going on. To what degree, I don't know. If he might just know that, okay, well, maybe he thinks it's just a couple of veterans. So what we need to do is reach out to him and our organization, and if he does nothing, then we know he doesn't care about us, and all that he's talking about serving and taking care of the troops when they return, he means that only U.S. citizen, and if you're not a U.S. citizen, he doesn't care about you. But at the same time, they're recruiting you, and they're sending you to war. So, you know, he'd be going against the word that, you know, his words, you know. Well, I don't really know what's going on with the, I know that Department of Homeland Security, they are deporting us, and they do not care, because Janet Napolitano, she has the power to stop all the deportations until further notice, or even grant let guys out, and they're not doing it.
Well, I heard there's numbers of something like 30,000 non-citizens that are in the military. They're actually immigrant within the U.S. military. So I think I heard that on your website.
Yeah, that's I heard a highly decorated general say also, and this has come from a general. They did a little bit of the research on it, and he said 40,000 during his time when he was in. So it could vary, but you're talking about, you know, it could be even more. You know, because I don't know if they really keep track on who's, you know, who is a U.S. citizen. They do what they do make sure is that you have all your paperwork, you went to high school, and you have a social, and you are legally here. But that he just mentioned that it was up to 40,000 per year. So that's a really high number, and I think it's higher than that.
We only have but a minute left there, Hector. Could you quickly leave us with, you know, an inspirational message you really want to get out to people? And, share your website with us, and, you know, how people can contact you. I know they contact you through my website, and I'll be putting up links on my website. But just if you can share that information.
Well, just basically, you know, any help we need. I mean, I'm not too good for professional words, but any help would be great. You know, just by forwarding emails and any support that we can get is of help, because our government's not doing it, and we really need it. You know, we were there to, you know, to support the country and our people, and now our government has turned their back on us. And I think the people, once they find out, they will help us out, you know. And again, our website is banishedveterans.info, and if you want to get a hold of us or somehow, just you can also talk to Reginald or myself.
Well, thank you so much for coming on there, Hector. That was Hector Barajas. And
Barajas.
I'm sorry. I do apologize about that. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM CFRO. You're listening to Monday Brown Bagger. This is a very important issue that people have to address, because of the fact is, you know, to go serve a nation and protect the people, which is the basis of a democracy and the basis of a nation. And I truly believe that that is the greatest honor you can do, and that the people are obligated to protect the veterans, because the veterans protected them to begin with. And that's why I say to all Canadians, all Americans, and all other people listening to this, it is your obligation to protect the veterans. And with that said, thank you so much for listening in. And until we meet again, have a great day.